Hi, I'm Sophie Hagen, and this is BBC Ouch Storytelling Live from the Backyard Comedy Club in London. We recorded 6 different disabled people and people with mental health difficulties speaking on the subject of love and relationships. The one you're going to hear now is John Cervanti, whose depression got in the way of his love life. If you enjoy it, do check out the other podcasts on the BBC Ouch website, bbc.co.uk/ouch, and for full terms and conditions, visit bbc.co.uk/podcasts. But first, here's BBC Ouch Storytelling Live.
So I told a fundamental lie to get here tonight. Big intake of breath. I am disabled, that's not up for debate. But the producers phoned me a couple of weeks ago and said, right, so John, just so you know, the event's going to be at Bethnal Green and in front of a live audience. And I said, sorry, what? I said, Bethnal Green. I said, no, that's not the problem. They said, what, is in front of a live audience a problem for you? And I haven't got crippling anxiety issues. I'm sure I'll be fine. I'm also not a performer, by the way. I just write stories, so we'll see how this goes. So for many years, I've suffered from depression. Now, what does that actually mean? Some of you might say if your goldfish dies or nobody likes your Facebook status that you have depression. For me, it's a little more persistent than that. I suffer with major depressions that can last for weeks, maybe even months at a time. I have feelings of malaise and sadness and sometimes even suicidal thoughts. To put it another way, according to Professor Robert Sapolsky, I have a neurological disorder with a biochemical and genetic component where I just can't appreciate sunsets. I was diagnosed when I was a student at university. This made me quite unpopular. I studied English, but even the Gothic literature fans thought I was a bit too morose and depressing. In my final year as a student, I decided I wanted to leave university as a proper undergraduate. So I needed to get wasted, I needed to go out clubbing, and I needed to get off with some random strangers. My more sensible therapist suggested I should just join a society. This is harder than you might think. I thought about joining debating, but I had depression, so I was apathetic. I thought about joining the choir, but we depressives can be a bit one note. So eventually I settled upon drama because it's socially acceptable for a director to sit in a dark room and just yell, "This is awful!" So at the time, a new friend of mine, Aveen, offered to help me put on a play. Now, Aveen was a very talented theatre student, and she was also just a really lovely person. When she'd found out about my condition, she confided in me that she had a family history of mental illness. Now, depression's quite hard to describe to a lot of people because it's invisible, it has a long list of symptoms, and taking Lemsip will not cure it. So after, you know, sort of making a bit of a bond with Aveen, I discovered this was somebody I could work with. She was not the kind of person who was ever going to ask me, "Can't you just cheer up?" Because she understood that was like asking a wheelchair user to stand. So she encouraged me to be more open and honest with people, and that kind of helped me get into the whole drama thing. After she organised some auditions, I realised I faced a huge challenge. The antidepressants I was taking at the time meant that I couldn't concentrate for any length of time. I would sort of zone out or just completely lose focus altogether. So how was I going to make it through an audition? Well, I came up with a simple and incredibly stupid idea. Without consulting my doctor or weaning myself off, I just stopped taking my antidepressants. What was the worst that could happen? So the first day, true enough, nothing happened. I was fine. The second day, I felt a bit dodgy, but, you know, it was all good. By the day of the auditions, I woke up a member of the mumbling, stumbling dead. I had a headache. I couldn't really concentrate on anything. I felt disorientated, and I felt very, very nauseous. If you ever want to wreck an actor's confidence, just say to them, "Sorry, could you do that line again? I was trying not to vomit." Aveen was unbelievably angry with me that I just decided to stop taking my antidepressants. And in the car journey on the way home, I decided to sort of break the ice. And I said to her, "So, who do you think were the best actors today?" And as she listed all of these different people, I started to get more and more angry. She was mentioning all of the sort of stereotypical attractive types, you know, the young men and women with sort of designer clothes and trendy haircuts and gym bodies, which I really hated at the time because I was depressed and not getting to the gym ever. And I decided that I was going to have a go at her. So I said to her, "You know, you're only mentioning all of the beautiful people. You're not actually mentioning anyone who has any real talent." Now, this really offended her because she was going to put up with me being morose all day, but she was not going to put up with me insulting her. "That's not fair," she said. "You can't just imply that I'm one of these sort of superficial people." I said, "Well, name me one decent actor who happened to be a bit, you know, funny looking." So there was this sort of briefest of pauses, and I jumped on it and I went, "Aha, see, you can't." She said, "Well, what about Priya?" And I said, "Oh, no, don't give me that. Everybody knows that Priya is an attractive woman. Everybody says Priya's an attractive woman. Priya's an attractive woman. You haven't proved anything." She said, "Well, I don't think she's beautiful." I said, "You know what? I never thought of you as the kind of sort of shallow human being. I thought you were a nicer person than that. You confided stuff in me. I'm actually starting to think you're a pretty bad person. Maybe I don't want to make this play with you anymore. Maybe you don't really understand the sort of nuances of human pain." So she started to have a go at me, but she calmed herself down and stopped because, you know, she's a lovely, empathetic person and I'm not. And I just sort of started going on this diatribe about how, you know, there were ugly people in the world who are really nice too, because when you're suffering with depression, it becomes like your moral duty to point out to everybody that the world is a really, really bad place. And it's, you know, everything's morose. What's wrong with you? I haven't got a problem. You've got a problem. And she sort of, as if she could hear all of this nonsense churning about in my head, said, "Well, you know, I actually like plenty of unusual people." I said, "Oh, yeah? Yeah, really? You're a liar. That's what you are. You're a liar. You don't like anybody unusual. Who do you like who's unusual? Go on, tell me. Who do you like who's unusual?" And she said, "Well, you." Now, I dealt with this really well. I just let a silence rest over the car for about 5 minutes. I was thinking whilst I was driving along, why would she, what? No, there's been a mistake here. I've misunderstood things. She didn't mean that she likes me because nobody likes me. And I'm misanthropic. And I know I've heard the voices. They've told me I'm going to be forever alone. And that's my destiny from now on. As I pulled up to my student house, I turned to her and with a cringing earnestness, I said, "Why would you say that?" She was too embarrassed at this point to look at me, and she just said, "Well, I know that you don't feel the same, but that's how I feel, and yeah, I do like you, and so there. I know we're just going to be friends, but I've put it out there now." Well, a couple of days later, I found myself doing something very unusual for me, something almost positive, you could say. I decided to ask her on a date. Because, of course, if it all went wrong and I vomited on her or something, it just proved my worldview and everything was terrible and I could go back to being depressed and happy with my depression. But to my surprise, it went well, very well. And before I knew it, we were in a relationship. And a couple of months down the line, we found ourselves in love. And to this day, some 3.5 years later, we are still together. So depression's a difficult condition to live with. It can often be a bit like trying to find land when you're on this sort of dark and black sea. But however lost I get in my own thoughts and my misery and my stupid ramblings and wanting to make other people feel crap about themselves, I always have a shining light that anchors me and invites me to come home, and that's my lovely girlfriend.
That was BBC Ouch Storytelling Live. If you enjoyed it, do visit bbc.co.uk/ouch and have a listen to the other podcasts from the night.